Welcome back to the After Hours with Amanda podcast. I am so happy you're here. If you're new here, welcome. If you're not, you know the drill. Grab whatever bevy you want. Let's settle in. Let's settle down. Let's start by apologizing. I really hope you're not mad at me for doing a audio only episode. I love spending time with you, FaceTime with you, frankly. But at the end of the day, the quality of the video was literally struggling. So until we charge that ring light, figure out why my face was literally looked like it was in stop motion. We're doing audio, and we're doing audio because I don't want to be without you this week and sharing what I want to share. This is such an interesting episode. And you know, it's hard. I feel like sometimes right now, especially just where we're at in life, and maybe this is just me, it's really hard to say something without saying it the wrong way. You know what I mean? Like, even with the best intentions, it's really difficult. So I'm going to do my best today. As always, I'm speaking from my personal experience, okay? So if you're like, I don't agree with that, like, I am okay with that, because you know what? Being that it is my personal experience, it's exactly what it is for you too, your personal experience. So if it doesn't resonate, that is okay. We can still be friends. It just might not be the episode where you're like, yeah, I resonated with that. But it's something really important. And let's just kick things off with, it doesn't have anything to do with a specific sport, but we're going to utilize that as an example and talk about how our tiny people are all different and what that looks like and how that's entering in for us in terms of activities and things that we do, specifically with cheerleading, which I just want to say this. I feel super blessed my girls are having the experience that they are in cheerleading. It has been nothing but phenomenal for them. That was not anywhere near my experience, which is why I literally clenched my butt cheeks when the oldest queen was like, I want to do cheer. And I was like, oh, but do you, boo? Like, are you sure? And what we're really going to talk about here is not just the difference in children, but the projection of the way that we can be as parents, or I can be as a person. And again, you don't have to be a parent to listen to this episode. This could apply to you in any of your relationships, right? And it really does. I think when we have a gauge on who we think someone is and where we think their interest lies and what we think would be best for them. And I think that it's something so sticky that you get into with parenting. You get into this idea of, you know your kids so well, right? You know your tiny people so well. You've been with them. You've watched them journey things. You know their idiosyncrasies. But here's where I feel like we kind of run into a problem. And I feel like that is when we box them in based off of what we know, never allowing them to prove us different. And I don't mean prove us in like, I'm going to show you, mom. I mean, like, their interests can change. Their desires can change. Them being fearful of something doesn't last forever, and sometimes it does. And I think that this really factors into also the age and birth order of your kids, and the fact that we shouldn't hold one like more important just because a milestone is met differently, right? See, here's the beauty. The beauty in when your kids are born originally, if you have multiples, is the milestones are met at different points. Usually, I mean, unless you have twins, right? Unless you have multiples, and I can't speak to that because I don't. But something that was great is all three of my girls, right? They were born at separate times, obviously. I have no twins or triplets. So them hitting their milestones happened at different times. Yes, I had one walking at 10 months and I had one walking at almost 16 months. So, and the one that walked at 16 months didn't even crawl till 12 months due to some other issues. And that was neither here nor there, because I wasn't comparing the two in a sense directly next to each other, right? And then our third one came and she was doing her own thing too, right? At a different point. But where I think a lot of people, and I know I just jumped in here, but I really wanted to get this out when my brain really had it for you. We all know how Amanda Rabbit trails, okay? But what happens as they get older is you start to see maybe the younger one is pushing harder to do what the oldest is doing, right? Or maybe the middle is bumping, you know, up past the oldest and doing things that, you know, they don't want to do at the same time in this milestone range. And what the knee-jerk reaction is, because I had it as a kid and I stopped myself from doing it once I started to get multiples to see how different their personalities were. My girls are so similar in so many ways, yet they are vastly, vastly different. And that has to be recognized. That has to be valued and that has to be seen. Otherwise, not only do you miss out on the person, you discourage who they are. And I can't live thinking that I put this barrier on them feeling good about themselves and what I'm saying about is this statement. Well, your sister did it. Well, your little sister, that's the big one. Well, look at your little sister. She's doing it and she's not afraid. I mean, this is so popular. You see this all the time in amusement parks. And I would say this, when I had my oldest, I really was like, in those first couple years, I was a different parent. Okay. I don't regret it, but I do regret it. But we can't, again, past regrets. We can't hold who we were in that moment and what we knew to the new standard that we have. We can only continue to modify our learnings and grow and work with the information we have now. Okay. So like bottom line, that can't change the past. And I just remember with her just really being like, come on, your cousins are doing it. Come on, your friends are, come on. Right. And I've talked about this before in past episodes where it's like, wow, introduce peer pressure a little earlier. Oh, so-and-so is doing it. Well, you should definitely do it. But you see this a lot at amusement parks, right? We're at Disneyland, say, for example. And luckily, this habit was broke for me before our second was born. So we never ran into, well, your sister's doing it. We hear it all the time, right? Say you have a tiny person who the youngest is a little bit more adventurous, right? There is no shame in being cautious of amusement park rides. I'll tell you what, I as an adult still look at some things and question it. So applying pressure to me is wild. And I know that sometimes we say, well, I know they'll enjoy it. And it's funny because, yeah, there are some things that if they can get over that hump, but there's a very big difference between stretching a child to believe in themselves and pressuring them into something that they're clearly uncomfortable with. And the fact of how many factors can go into that, whether their experience of the sound, the effects, the textures, the people, the crowd, like there's just so many things to be considered. And you see people who, you know, you want to go on a ride. And here, I'm not shaming anyone for this. I'm not guilting you for this. I'm just saying, like, for me, this was just something that I was like, I definitely can't go this route with who my tiny humans are as people. It won't work for them. It will only burden them with this responsibility to feel like they're failing. And you'll be in line and you'll hear, well, so-and-so's going to go. Well, you're just going to go on it, right? You're going to go on. It's going to be fun, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's hard because when you have multiples or when you have people in your life, right? Say you meet someone and they like, definitely, they tell you straight off the bat, the first year you meet them, like, I don't like roller coasters. And again, we're really getting into this idea of identity. And I made a video about it on TikTok last week about how we get really stuck in what we assume our likes and dislikes are. And then when we grow or change, we get very conflicted on sharing that because it feels as if we are betraying our former self, which is just insane. You're allowed to grow and change. It's not betraying anything. It's not saying that all the work you've done is for naught. It means you changed your mind. And that is absolutely allowed in the time that we have on this earth, which in the scheme of things is just short. So my point being that you have someone in your life and they come to you and they, I don't like roller coasters. This is the first year you met them, say. And I'm just using roller coasters as an example because I think this is an easy example. And then they don't like roller coasters. They don't like roller coasters. And then finally, after like a couple years, all of a sudden, they decide they like roller coasters and they want to try them. Are you going to sit there and be like, wow, for so many years prior, you just weren't about that. And now you want to say you like roller coasters? Like you don't really like them. You've just finally given into the peer pressure of it all or the wanting to be included of it all. And now you like roller coasters. Okay. Super inauthentic. No. You're going to be like, hell yeah, let's go on roller coasters now. We can go on roller coasters together. I'm so excited. Look at all the opportunities this has opened up. And what I really think happens a lot of times with parenting is our children as people come out and they are the tiny humans that we meet and they have different desires and different wants and different fears. And something that I see playing out as my tiny humans get older is differences. Differences in enjoyments of things. Differences in what they want to do. And somehow, and I don't know how this happens in the world, that being seen as a negative. You know, say you have three kids and they all play soccer. Well, they don't all play soccer. Say one plays soccer. And say the other says, I don't want to play soccer. I'm not into it, right? That's not for me. I don't like the pressure of kicking a ball or making a goal, right? But then what happens when that person, tiny, comes to you and says, actually, you know what? I kind of want to try soccer. And it's been a couple years, right? Now they're not on the team. Now they have not all the practice that the other kids on the team have had. And you start to get this anxiety, this stress of what will happen. What if they get out and they do soccer and it doesn't go well? You know what I should just do? I should just remind them of how much they actually didn't like soccer. I should save them the possible heartache that they could feel, the possible disappointment. And I should remind them, you know what? You didn't even like soccer. I don't know. You know what? Maybe we should just stick with what you want to do at the moment and what you were doing. Like, that feels like the safest option, because at the end of the day, right, you don't like soccer, right? I mean, come on. And you would be so surprised at how tiny human will take you at face value, and they'll be like, oh, you know what? Yeah. Actually, I decided you're right. Yeah. Should have stuck with that first answer. And I can't tell you how many times as a parent, that feels like the safest option. And I'm admitting it. It feels like the safest option to say, like, oh gosh, do you know what? Heartache could be on the horizon. So let's just buffer that. But that is not the gift that we give our tiny people. The gift that we give them is if at some point they start to believe in themselves, we say, oh, okay, well, let me be real with you. Here are some things we might run into. I need to have a really honest conversation with you. And I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to support you. I think it's awesome that you want to try something new. I do want to let you know that I don't know how that's going to work out though, and I can't help with that, but I can support you. I can encourage you. I can tell you that if it's not this year, it's next year maybe. And if it's not that year and you want to keep going, I'm going to be here for it. But so often there's this knee-jerk reaction for us, at least for me and what I've experienced, and I'm exposing myself here, to say, I don't know. You know, my tiny humans have had different learning opportunities in their lives. And you've heard about me, how they've each kind of done a victory lap in different grades, and how they've, you know, we've done speech therapy and we've done other, you know, other things and learning therapy. And I don't necessarily go into all that because, well, frankly, it's not my business to tell. But I can share from the perspective of as a parent what that looks like in when now the tiny human who has had learning differences, right? You go, let me tell you what, there has never been a moment where I literally went to our parent-teacher conference at the beginning, I want to say it was the beginning of this year, I sat down fully expecting a different type of parent-teacher conference. And this teacher sat down and was like, hey, da 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 da, and rattled off this just like amazing learning stuff. And I was like, I'm sorry, wait, what? What are you talking about? Wait, are we talking about the same student? Because I just remember a year and a half prior, before we had been doing these other things, I just remember what that conference was like. I'm so sorry. I think, are you... And in my mind, I had had that tiny human living in the expectations of where they had been and not seen where they had gone. I had really honestly been keeping them in this place of, oh, you know what? I love that book and that reading level, but you know what? Since we need to get this, why don't you just read this one? I had been doing such a disservice. And the amount of called out that I felt without the teacher obviously had no idea. Like the educator was glowing and joyful and happy and encouraging and so excited to see the growth. So encouraging. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I need to reframe then. I'm going to need your help here. I'm literally looking at the teacher and the reading assistants. Hey, I'm going to actually need your help. Can you help me be a better parent and help me pick out books that are encouraging, not discouraging, but that are stretching? See, because I think sometimes we forget that tiny people being a little uncomfortable, that's not the problem. Tiny people not being seen for who they are and valued in that respect, that's where we run into the issues. The forcing because we're going to be comparative. Rather than teaching them to run the race against themselves, right? Teaching them that it matters what everybody else is doing and they're running that race. See, that is something that I am experiencing in parenting that I never thought would happen. I never thought I would be the one labeling my child. And I'm not saying labeling in a really aggressive way. So don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm saying seeing them at a certain point and treating that point as where we are at always, where the start line is always, rather than seeing how far they've come in the marathon of life and being like, oh my gosh, wait, you're not at mile two. You're actually at mile 12. Where have I been? I need to move up. I need to move myself along the path that you're on. But at the same time, I also need to not be the one that's telling you to go back to mile one every time you get a little bit further out and you're like, wow, this hill is really high. At the same time, what I don't need to do is come along you at mile 8 before you get to mile 12 and go, Chrissy's at mile 10. You need to speed it up. Pick up the pace. And then when you get to mile 12 saying, oh, you know what? I really didn't even think you'd get this far. Mile 14 is coming up. I think mile 12 is great. You did great. You know what? Stop at 13.2 because that's like a half marathon. You've gotten just far enough. You do not need to continue. You don't need to continue. You know what? We just need to be comfortable with where we're at. And it's hard because do you know what else comes with encouraging your kids when they want to stretch themselves? Knowing that at some point there is going to be a mile marker where they're not going to pass it at that point, right? It's not their time yet. And seeing the disappointment, I could cry thinking about it. Seeing the disappointment in a tiny person when they have tried so hard at something to the ability that they have left it all out there. They have done all that they can with their whole heart. And knowing not that it wasn't good enough, that it just wasn't their season. Because for me, here's what I say to my tiny people when they're doing something new or they're trying something. If you gave it your all, if you left it all out there, it's not that your good wasn't good enough, baby. Your season was not today. Because your good is always good enough. It just wasn't what was needed in that moment. And that doesn't mean never. It just means not right now. It just means not right now for you. It just means that we're going to continue either to work on what we're working on. We're going to continue to develop. We're going to do things that encourage us, that build us. Or you have the option to say, all right, I tried. I gave it my all and I loved that experience. I learned a lot from it. I don't think that's going to be from me. And not out of fear of failure again, but out of satisfaction that you tried and you're open to other things. That now you've tried this and you believe that you have the ability to try other things. I just feel like so often we box ourselves in as human beings as well, taking this out of the scope of parenting and looking at you as a person. I said this in my video last week on TikTok. When I had my first child, I really told myself I'm going to make all the baby food. And I did. I did make all the baby food working 50 hours a week at retail in the middle of a holiday season, breastfeeding, pumping, killing myself because I told myself that this is what I was going to do. And I'm not a quitter and I'm going to stick it out. And when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I was literally melting mentally. But I was so committed to this identity of being that mom because that identity was the definition if I was good enough. That identity, that major that I was in college, that was the definition. I was pre-med at one point. You guys, I'm terrible at science. Oh my gosh, the level of math and science that I cannot. And let me tell you what, that's not me being mean to myself. That's me as an adult understanding my gifts. That's not my gifting. But being so committed to something that there's no joy and that there's no encouragement in it. And I did it again when I said that I was going to be the parent that only did XYZ. So anything outside of that felt like a failing. And when you make an identity or the label of that identity, the rating of your success or failure, it doesn't allow you to grow. It actually deadens who you are. It leaves you feeling lost, confused, and honestly, a level of dead inside. Because you've beat yourself up so much to the point where you can't feel the success of actually all that you've done. And the minute you learn to say, actually, I made the baby food and that was super plausible and I felt super good about that, but it's gotten hard and I'm tired and now I'm pregnant for the second time and it's actually really difficult to cut the food and getting super expensive and I'm not doing my tiny person a disservice by changing to packaged food. I'm making the best choice of packaged food that I can do. And frankly, I could afford at the point. But you know what I'm doing? I'm making myself better in my mental state so I can be a better parent. Because making myself better mentally means that I'm going to have more joy and energy to share with you. Because who cares if I've got homemade baby food, if the time that I'm spending with you, I'm so angry and frustrated, that I'm so sad and discouraged. What is that message sending? It's saying that I'm not good enough if I don't live up to the expectations that I set before myself every day. It's like today, for example, I made a funny little TikTok about like, what can I cram into these 3 hours and 45 minutes? And I didn't get done some of the things I wanted to get done. And I came home and I'm going to get done part of the thing that I needed to get done, but still not all that I have on my list today that I really need to get done. Does that mean I'm failing? No, it means I'm literally trying my best. And that some things are going to fall by the wayside because it's a really busy week. And I can tell you this because you'll hear it on Wednesday. Blake's traveling this week. Blake's out of town. And when Blake's out of town and we have cheer stuff every night of the week, besides the evening activities, And besides all the other things, like I say all the time, it's not just Blake's helping hands. That's not what I need from him. I am a overly hyper-independent person, so which we won't dig into at the moment. We all know hyper-independence, the negatives of it, whatever. It's actually been beneficial at some points in my life. But the mental load, the rest that he brings me with his presence, that's hard when he's not here. That is hard. So what I need to say to myself this week, oh my gosh, what just happened? Did I click an ad? Hold on. I clicked an ad while we were recording on the computer. What I need to say to myself this week is your best is exactly what you're doing. And the enough that you're giving is good enough because that's all you've got to give. And if laundry piles up, which I mean, it's already a hot mess in there, okay? Eduardo has already moved in with all of his family at this point. And if you know, you know with the Eduardo. But it can't be the identity of me saying, oh, well, I'm this and I'm that all week. And if I don't hit every metric of those 100%, well, then I'm not that anymore. Right? It's like our style. This is why I have such a thing. The thing when someone asks me what my favorite movie is, don't ask me what my favorite movie is. Frankly, don't ask me what my favorite song is because I couldn't tell you because it depends on my mood. My style, my music, my movies, my essence, it all depends on my mood. It depends on where I am feeling in that moment. A week ago, I was up in Benson Boone's album listening to every song that I could. This week, I'm with Bobby Darin and Peggy Lee, and we're rocking out. Later today, I'll be pumping up the cheer jams, okay? But when I say to myself, well, this is my style. This is my style category and that's it. I can't wear any of that other stuff. Otherwise, I'm not this style. I just really want to help break the chains of that. The grip that that has on you does not allow you to grow. It doesn't allow you to change and it doesn't allow you to be multifaceted. You are more than one thing. My gosh, you're more than one thing. It's like when I tell people, they're like, oh, well, does a mom dress like that? I'm like, oh, you know what else I am? I'm a 38-year-old. Yeah. I also was born in September. I also is someone who enjoys Nutella with sprinkles. Yeah. I'm a coffee drinker, but I also love tea. Oh my gosh. The crisis of life that I had when I was like, oh my gosh, I drink coffee now. Well, what happened? Because I was the person who didn't drink coffee till I was 34 and I was such a tea drinker. Like what does this all mean? What is this crisis, an existential crisis over coffee or tea? Come on. You are allowed to be more than one thing. You are allowed to say, you know, I really thought that this was the path that I was on. I literally poured my entire life into this. And I can't tell you how much I preach this to my tiny people because how often I have seen kids who are athletes and played a sport and then get into college and then that ends. And that last game is so confusing. What do you do now? What do you do now? Because your whole identity is wrapped up in that. What do you do if there's an injury that suffered? If you have never allowed a human in your life, a tiny person, to explore other things, we have done a disservice. If we have not taught them, then they are more than one thing. Sure, you might be a really smart student. You're also allowed to be artistic. You're also allowed to get a B or a C. Yeah. Shocking. This news information for those. We're actually not meant to be good at everything, which means if you're getting an A in every subject, that is amazing. But if you happen to have a B squeak in there or a C squeak in there, it doesn't take away the fact that you're still an amazing student. Yeah. It doesn't actually get rid of all that. It doesn't erase all the work that you've done. Right? If you really thought at one point you were going to go to this college and you literally have banners in your room and that's everything you've decided and you get declined from that college, it actually doesn't change all the effort that you've put in. It doesn't mean that, I don't know, maybe you could transfer there. It doesn't also mean that your journey actually wasn't meant to go in a different direction. And there's a beautiful life waiting for you at another university that you would have never imagined. It doesn't mean that just because that door is closed, there isn't a window that has been waiting and blowing a very cool breeze that you're going to really enjoy. See, because when we dump our identity all into one thing, and it happens a lot in mom world, right? What happens when your kids graduate? You are now an empty nester. Where does the identity go if your identity has been so focused on this one thing? And I'm not saying as a stay-at-home mom that that is a disservice. That's not what I'm saying here, because as a stay-at-home mom, that is not the only thing that you do. Come on. As a work mom, that is not the only thing that you do. As a dad, as an aunt, as an uncle, as a parent, as an adopted mom, like that is not the only thing that you are. You exist in other ways. Don't allow yourself and other people to box you into this. You can be other things. I can be the mom that wears jeans and Converse one day, and I can be the mom that's athleisure the other day. And I use style because I feel like style is not super controversial unless people are telling you what to wear as a mom. But you're allowed to be multifaceted. You're allowed to change your mind. And you can't hold people hostage to the identity that was first experienced. And what I mean by that is especially with your tiny people. I am learning so much with my three people. They have taught me so much about people, so much about how people grow and change. And the time frame in which they do that is actually their journey. Yeah, it's not about you. Let me just give you that little piece of information that is a big fat pill that everyone needs to swallow that I continue to remind myself of every day. When your kid rides a bike is not about you. If you're oldest, say you have some that are close in age, right? So you got like a middle and a younger, right? Okay. If that younger one's riding a two-wheeler, let's use that example because training wheels and two wheels is a big thing, right? If that little one's riding a two-wheeler before your middle, it actually means nothing about your middle. Yeah, it doesn't reflect on them poorly or negatively in any way whatsoever. Congratulate the younger on doing something that they were ready to do and enjoying, and go to that middle and hug them for being aware and encourage them to continue trying if that's something. Maybe they might like rollerblades better. Maybe it's not even about the bike. Maybe they like the hoverboard. Maybe they like to do roller skates. Maybe it's not actually the bike. Maybe that's not the measure of success. But we make these milestones, these measures of success. And then we look at them and we go, well, why aren't you doing that too? Be the same, when they're clearly not the same. It's this battle that you have to fight in friendships, in relationships. I mean, it's so funny, especially in marriage, and Blake and I experience this often. It was funny. I'll look at him sometimes and I'll be like, wait, since when do you, like, let's use food as an example. Since when do you eat that? Actually, you know what? Like a couple months ago, I tried it and I was like, actually, Amanda's not wrong. This is actually pretty good. I like this. And I'm like, I'm sorry, wait, what? Because I'm still thinking of 2007 you that wouldn't have even gone near that. Like, what are you talking about? When Blake and I met, I didn't eat sushi. That's a great example. When Blake and I met, I did not eat sushi. You couldn't even get me near it. I thought it was disgusting. And then what was so funny is he took me to this place where he got taken to the first time he had sushi. And I guess he had a really good experience. When we went, mine was not good. So I again was like validated that sushi was disgusting. And then when we were going to school down in Los Angeles, there's this place in Pasadena. I want to say it was called Kabuki's. Oh my gosh, I would give anything to go to Kabuki's. I'm actually going to be in LA, Burbank, May 28th and 29th. And who knows? Maybe I might just pop my little tush over to Pasadena to get some Kabuki's. I don't even know if that's what it is. I'm gonna look it up. But I didn't eat sushi. And now I could literally eat sushi and raw fish every day of the week. I love it. I love it. Give me nigiri. Give me sashimi. Give me a roll. I'll take it anyway. But if Blake, when we had gotten married, was like, oh, you can't eat sushi. Yeah, you don't eat sushi. And I was like, wait, no, but I really think I want to try it. And he's like, yeah, well, we went out to dinner with so-and-so and like they had sushi, but like I'm just not going to order any for you. It's like, wait, I'm sorry, what? That sounds insane. That sounds absolutely insane, looking at another adult being like, yeah, you don't get to order sushi because you don't eat it. Yeah, sorry, too bad. But yet so often we do this to tiny people who are literally victim to their circumstances. I say this all the time. It boggles my mind. Do we really take in the fact that children under the age of 18 are tiny people, do not get a choice in 90% of the things? And you might be like, well, I drive them to soccer and I drive them to here and I drive them this. And yeah, sure, they might be doing activities that they enjoy, but it's not their choice, like where they go to school. I know it might not be your choice either, right? It's where you live or whatever. But you pack them a lunch, and sure, you might ask them what they want, but budget plays into that, time plays into that. And some might not even ask them what they want for lunch. That might even be an option. It's like you get what people, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit, right? And then they don't get a choice on if they want screen time or not, right? Like you're like, yeah, we're not doing that. Or can I watch this? No. Mom, can I listen to this song on the radio? No, I'm gonna listen to this. Mom, I'm sorry, I'm on the phone right now. Don't talk. Like the amount of non-choice that they experience is a high level. So can we at least let them choose some things about themselves? You know, it's not, I'm gonna go back to the bike example because I feel like that's a really valid one. Maybe it's not about riding the bike. Maybe they just want to wear rollerblades. Maybe it's not, maybe it doesn't have to be the measure of their success. Maybe you don't have to see if they're doing as well as the other one. And I take that with friends too, right? You ever go to a kid's youth event? Oh man, telling you what, youth sports is crazy. I feel really blessed with the sports that my girls currently do. We experience an insane amount of teamwork, collaboration. There is not a lot of comparison at all. Actually, I've experienced none, which some people might be like, that's a lie, but I truly haven't. At least I haven't heard comparison from any coach at all in any range of things that we've done. Even our swim team, which I love, says, you're beating your own time, so focus on that. It's great to have goals. It's great to have people that you see and you're like, wow, they went really fast. I want to get faster like that. But it is not the definition of your success. Yeah, there are winners and losers, clear winners and losers. That's life. That's something that we experience, heartache, disappointment, and losing. And it is something as a parent that you can't prevent because it actually builds character when it's done in the right way. I'm not saying that we have to be like, that kid lost and we won and let's rub it in. But I'm saying that adversity builds character. But if we hold them in this box of who we know them to be as kids, we never let them grow out of it. And then they're 30 years old and we're still talking to them like they're 12. You guys know what I'm talking about if you're an adult and you're having a conversation with a parent. You know what I'm talking about. When you're like, wait, you guys, I'm not 14. Hold on a second. I might have done that when I'm 14. I'm a whole grown ass adult now. Okay. It's just funny because you see them. And I do that with my dad. Honestly, my dad is stuck in my mind at 56. He's never aged. He's never aged past the age of 56. I can't get it out of my head. The man's going to be 80 next year. Wow. He is stuck in the 24-year gap. And it's funny to me because he's just changed a lot from who he was when he was my parent to who he is as a grandparent. I just think there's really something hard to be learned, at least for me. And when I say hard, I mean it's hard to accept the fact that you are the one that might be boxing in or label or holding back because you haven't seen the growth that's happened because you've been so distracted by who you expect them to be and who you've known them to be and what other people are doing around them. And that noise is confusing them, well, confusing you from allowing them to be them. If everyone was the same, the world would be so boring. If everyone did everything at the same time, we would never learn new ways of doing things. Allow yourself to not be stuck in something that you have boxed yourself into, as well as the ones around you you love and the tiny humans in your life. Allow yourself to see that if you actually hold on to that identity so tightly, you're actually just dying, because what's the opposite of growth? The opposite to me is death. If you're not growing, you're stagnant, and stagnant doesn't last long. I love you so much. I want to encourage you today. I want to tell you that just because things might not be going the way that you thought they were, did not mean that they're not going the right way. Just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean that you are not trying something new and that's difficult. But learn to gauge yourself in what feels difficult and uncomfortable and what you actually are not meant for. And allow yourself to do the same for the tiny people. And if you catch yourself like me going to a parent-teacher conference and the teacher telling you all these amazing things that you literally were living a year ago in from where you thought they would be and where they were, and you actually realized in that moment a year and a half ago that you were not paying attention to all the growth that they had had and how far they had come, allow yourself to accept that and see that and move on and do better. Because we're all growing and we're all changing. And sometimes our best and our good enough is exactly what it needed to be, because it wasn't that season. I don't know if any of that made sense, but it really felt like I needed to share it, and I really wanted to bring it to you. I am so sorry I didn't get to see your fabulous face, because I love looking at you and I love getting to tell you this next part, looking directly into your eyes so you know how much I mean it. If no one has told you lately, I am so happy you're here. I love you so much. You are so needed. There is only one of you, so do not change for anyone, because you are exactly what is needed as you are. You have exponential and limitless potential, because like I said, there's no one like you. That's a superpower. I love you, and I am so happy you're here. I'm so grateful that you chose to spend this time with me. I'm sorry it's a short episode that's just audio. But regardless, I loved being with you, friend, and I hope that you have the best week. Until next week, I'll talk to you then.